This just in, it's still really cold. We get a little insight on that from a meteorologist. We'll also hear what's new and not new about buying health insurance in Montana as opening day for healthcare.gov approaches. That's our top story on Montana Evening Edition. I'm Eric Whitney.
And I'm Christopher Allen. We also have a story on a new scorecard that ranks Montana cities on their policies regarding lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. A cold blast of air from winter storm Astro came down through Canada this week and had forecasters projecting all-time record lows for many parts of western Montana yesterday. National Weather Service meteorologist Trent Smith says places like Butte came pretty close.
I know we were forecasting like minus 22 at Butte, but the other night Butte did get to minus 14, which broke a record of minus 12 set in 1911. And then even last night and this morning, even though it's not official yet until midnight tonight, so far this morning's low was minus 19, and the record is minus 19 set back in 1916.
Smith also says wind chill warnings are over for now, but temperatures are still expected to remain well below average. He says the average highs will equal the average lows for this time of year.
This coming weekend, the models are indicating another cold push, but there is the potential for some significant snow for Montana come Friday into Saturday.
Snowfalls of 2 to 10 inches were recorded Monday and Tuesday. State lawmakers chose their party leaders for the upcoming 2015 legislative session in Helena today. Yellowstone Public Radio's Jackie Yamanaka says they're talking about working together to benefit Montana.
One of the tasks facing the majority in the Senate is healing the rift from 2013. Where late in the session, Republicans openly criticize Republicans on the floor, sometimes for joining Democrats to pass bills. Senate President Debbie Barrett wants no gotcha moments going into the upcoming session. She says 2015 is a fresh start.
We have 29 of the best qualified, intelligent, talented, dedicated people in Montana, and we want to put each one of those people where they need to be to move this state forward. So, there's no retaliation planned, no punishment, no anything. We're starting over and we're using everyone.
Barrett extends an invitation to Democrats and the governor to work with Senate Republicans on good legislation. Senate Minority Leader John Sesso of Butte says Democrats are willing to work with anyone who wants to move Montana forward.
You know, we've been working with very conservative folks for a long time, and we've come to understand what makes them tick, and I hope that they have recognized that Democrats are ready to work on the best ideas that Montanans expect from us.
Cecil says he'll continue to reach out to Republicans to form coalitions to advance legislation. Over in the House, Speaker Austin Knutson of Culbertson says Montanans spoke loud and clear through last week's general election that they're concerned about the economy, jobs, and responsible natural resource extraction.
So those are the issues that we really want to put forward in this legislative session to show the people of Montana that we're listening.
Knutson says he has a cordial and professional relationship with both the Democratic governor and House Minority Leader Chuck Hunter. He's optimistic legislation can be crafted where all sides have a say. Hunter says while Democrats may have different views on some issues, he's also optimistic that we'll get things done in 2015.
We'll be working to build majorities with members of the other side who want to get things done for Montana. So we are greatly excited about getting started.
He says there are good hearts and goodwill on both sides that can be capitalized. The 2015 session convenes January 5th. Jackie Yamanaka, YPR News, The Capitol.
Montanans who buy their own health insurance, or who want to, can start buying policies for next year starting on Saturday. It's the beginning of the Affordable Care Act's second so-called open enrollment period. The process will be similar to last year, but significantly different, says Adam Schaefer at the Montana Insurance Commissioner's Office.
Folks should not experience the same problems that came up last year.
Last year, the healthcare.gov website was famously awful upon launch. It got better, and by the end of March, operated smoothly enough to help close to 8 million Americans find and buy health coverage.
They've had, you know, almost a whole year to fix those bugs that did plague the website at the beginning of open enrollment last year. So we have a bit more confidence this year that the site's going to run smoothly.
How well the website will run this time remains to be seen. But one thing that is known is how the price of insurance next year compares to 2014. Montanans can go to healthcare.gov now and check out prices before they actually start buying on Saturday. Schaefer says the prices this year show
a historically low average rate increase of about 1.5% throughout the individual market. That's not to say that some folks individually may see bigger increases than that or even a slighter increase, but we saw that rates, at least on average as a whole, are not going up as much as they were in the past. Over the last 5 years, we were seeing increases of 10 to 13% on average each year. So having that 1.5% increase is a remarkable change.
Montanans will also have more health insurance policies to choose from for 2015. Last year, three companies were selling health plans here. This year, it's four. And they're selling a total of 84 different health plans.
We've got Pacific Source, the Montana Health Co-op, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and Time Assurant this year. So we're seeing more competition.
One other thing that's also new this year, but familiar, is uncertainty over the future of the healthcare law. Some members of the new Republican majority in Congress, like Montana's Ryan Zinke, campaigned on throwing the law out. But Montana's new Senator Steve Daines, also a Republican, said on election night he doesn't think his party has the votes to do that. Outside of Congress, though, the U.S. Supreme Court last week announced that it would hear a case regarding whether states like Montana that use healthcare.gov will be able to continue operating the same way and to continue operating subsidies to help lower-income people afford health insurance. That would really change things for shoppers in Montana, Adam Schaefer says.
You will still be able to purchase through the exchange, but you will not get your subsidy. So that could be a big change if the court rules in favor of the plaintiffs.
Schaefer says about 80% of Montanans who bought health insurance through healthcare.gov last year got a subsidy to help them afford it. That's roughly 30,000 people. Subsidies are based on income. Anyone making less than about $47,000 a year qualifies for a subsidy, and those subsidies get bigger for people making down to $15,500. Montanans can start shopping on healthcare.gov now, but won't be able to actually start buying plans on the website till Saturday. Once that buying period called open enrollment starts, it's only open until February 15th. That's 3 months shorter than last year's open enrollment period. Open enrollment events are being planned across Montana. There's one Saturday at the Missoula Fairgrounds and another the following Saturday, November 22nd, at St. Patrick Hospital. We have a link to the Montana Insurance Commissioner's website that offers information on healthcare.gov and the Affordable Care Act on our website, mtpr.org.
A new report says at least four Montana cities can do more to protect their lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender citizens and employees. According to the Municipality Equality Index, produced by the Human Rights Campaign, the average score for cities in Montana is 44 out of 100 points. That's below the national average of 59. Billings scored 23 points, Bozeman 40, and Helena 53. Great Falls scored 2 points, and Missoula got 100. Catherine Oakley is the report's lead author.
We're rating 353 cities from across the country, and we're looking at them based on six major areas. First, non-discrimination laws. Second, relationship recognition. Third, how the city treats its own employees. Four, city services. Five, law enforcement. And six, city leadership on matters of equality.
Oakley says Missoula's score on the Municipality Equality Index, or MEI, is well-deserved given the city passed the first-ever municipal non-discrimination ordinance in the state of Montana in 2010. The city council has also established a volunteer LGBT liaison.
Missoula is one of those places where I think the city leadership has really taken LGBT equality seriously, and not just once, but that they have done it over and over again. Last year, when Missoula found out that they were going to be rated in the MEI, they immediately wanted to know what they needed to do to be able to come in at 100, and they did that.
And her reaction to the comparatively low scores of the other Montana cities?
You know, everybody needs somebody to look up to.
That's not good enough for Bozeman's Michelle Grabe, who's not satisfied with Bozeman's score of 40.
Gosh, it just makes me sad. Compared to other states, Montana is so far behind in so many different areas. But I have to say, when I moved here, I felt like coming from Texas, I didn't see the racism and stuff I saw on a daily basis there. So I felt like we were more progressive. But then when you get to certain issues like LGBT stuff or even Native American things, it's like Montana is still backwards.
Grabe, president of PFLAG, that's Parents, Families, and Friends of Lesbians and Gays of Gallatin Valley. Bozeman passed its own non-discrimination ordinance earlier this year. As the mother of a bisexual son, she says it was a relief when that rule was finally approved.
I was amazed by that, the amount of gay people that can have an entire 30-minute conversation and never use a pronoun. So people just assume they're talking about an opposite-sex partner, which would be the norm, when in truth they're gay, because they just are afraid of losing their job, or they're afraid of housing for sure when they show up with a same-sex couple.
The Human Rights Campaign's Catherine Oakley says there's a reason LGBT policy moves faster at the local level than at the state level.
I think that at the local level, it's a lot harder to pretend that these issues don't exist. I think you have a face and a name, and so when people come and say to you, I'm experiencing this discrimination, and they say that at a city council meeting, you know, you might know that person. Or if you don't know that person, your kid might go to school with that person's kid. And so, you know, ultimately, I think it's a lot more personal. And I also think that city leaders are some of the most effective leaders in the country, and they get things done.
U.S. District Judge Brian Morris has set a November 20th hearing for arguments in a lawsuit challenging Montana's ban on gay marriage.
Missoula's airport saw a record number of passengers in October. 10,000 more people flew in and out of Missoula in October of this year versus 2013. That's an increase of 13%. Airport Director Chris Jensen says that that continues a positive trend in terms of passenger numbers. More than 55,000 passengers used Missoula International in October. Jensen says figures from the Bureau of Transportation Statistics show that through June, Missoula airfares were lower than Billings, Bozeman, and Kalispell. There are currently five airlines serving Missoula, offering nonstop flights to 12 cities.
A proposal requested by Governor Steve Bullock would allow bison to roam year-round west of Yellowstone National Park if the population drops below 3,500 animals. Details of the proposal were released today. If adopted, it would break a long-standing impasse over where and when bison should be allowed to roam in areas of Montana bordering Yellowstone. Bullock intervened after state livestock and wildlife officials couldn't agree on a solution. Fears of bison spreading the disease brucellosis have prompted government agencies to capture and slaughter thousands of bison attempting to migrate from Yellowstone in recent years. Today's proposal would let the animals stay year-round in areas near West Yellowstone. At populations exceeding 3,500, they would be subject to slaughter, increased hunting, and hazing back into the park. Yellowstone had about 4,900 bison at last count.
The Missoula County Sheriff's Office has released the name of a man who died in a fall from the second level of the county jail. Detective Lieutenant Scott Newell tells the Missoulian that 51-year-old Jeffrey Roy Kolstadt fell from a second-story railing of the jail on November 3rd and died of head injuries at a hospital later that night. The cause of Kolstadt's fall is still under investigation. State records show Kolstadt was required to register as a sex offender after a 1991 rape conviction in Missoula County. He also had three felony DUIs on his record, the most recent in 2012.
A 34-year-old Montana man has been sentenced to 40 years in prison for the kidnapping and robbery of a suspected drug dealer that ended with the man's death. The Billings Gazette reports District Judge G. Todd Baugh sentenced James Adam Walker today to 45 years in prison, with five suspended. Prosecutors alleged Walker and co-defendant Simon Elliott Jacobson posed as law enforcement officers and kidnapped 29-year-old DeJuan Laster and his girlfriend from a Billings motel. The two men robbed Laster of $8,000 and took him out of town, where Jacobson shot Laster in the head and beat him with a shovel. Jacobson is serving a life sentence. Another weather forecast for our listening area. West of the Divide tonight, mostly clear. Lows 2 below to 9 below zero. Thursday, mostly sunny. High 16 to 23. Lows 3 to 10 degrees. Central Montana tonight, mostly clear with some patchy fog. Lows 5 below to 10 below zero. Thursday, sunny. Patchy fog in the morning. Highs 5 to 15. Lows 5 below to 10 below zero. In southwest Montana, there's a winter weather advisory in effect from 5 p.m. Thursday to 5 a.m. Saturday for Beaverhead, Madison, Jefferson, and Gallatin counties. Tonight, mostly clear with patchy fog, lows 5 below to 15 below zero. Thursday, partly cloudy and foggy in the morning, highs 10 to 20 degrees, lows 5 to 15 degrees. And now for the editorial comments of Dina Mansour.
Hello, I'm Dina Mansour, Associate Director of the Mansfield Center at the University of Montana. For several years, we've had the honor and the pleasure of engaging directly with you through our monthly commentaries. As I deliver this final commentary on behalf of our center, I reflect on who we are and how we can best serve the people of Montana. I've been fortunate to conduct work in Mike Mansfield's honor for 5 terrific years. That engagement pales in comparison to that of Dr. Paul Loren, co-founder and first director of the Mansfield Center. He explains that the inspiration for the center derives from Mike Mansfield's distinguished career and the two subjects with which he has long been identified, a staunch commitment to high ethical standards in public affairs and insightful contributions to the nation's Asia policies. Mike Mansfield's reputation as a public official is based upon his numerous achievements and personal qualities. Following service as a faculty member at the University of Montana, he represented our state for 10 years in the House of Representatives and then for 24 years in the Senate. He served as Senate Majority Leader longer than anyone else in American history. He was appointed as U.S. Ambassador to Japan in 1977, serving through 1988. Mike Mansfield served in this ambassadorial position longer than any other individual. As a result of this tremendous service, Mansfield leaves behind a significant legacy of leadership in both domestic and foreign policy. I'd like to draw from a series of essays that the Mansfield Center funded for the Mansfield Library's digital exhibit series to highlight some of his most important work. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 ranks among the most important and influential pieces of American legislation of the 20th century. Yet the proposed bill divided the Senate into pro- and anti-civil rights factions, which threatened irreparable damage to the Senate by exacerbating ideological differences. The fact that the Civil Rights Bill passed at all, and that the debate did not divide the Senate beyond repair, is owed in no small part to the persistently fair and even-handed guidance of Senate Majority Leader Mike Mansfield. As we honor our veterans this week, consider Mike Mansfield's campaign, Old Enough to Fight, Old Enough to Vote. On June 1, 1970, Mansfield gave a commencement speech at Flathead High School in Kalispell. The title of the address was Problems and Prospects, a fitting theme during a turbulent period in America. During the late 1960s and early 1970s, increasing numbers of the nation's youth were protesting against racial injustice, gender discrimination, and the war in Vietnam. Among the topics of Mansfield's speech was the national campaign to lower the voting age to 18, a goal Mansfield had consistently promoted as Senate Majority Leader, and one he was soon to play a prominent role in achieving. As President Obama meets with Chinese President Xi Jinping, consider Mike Mansfield's work to open the U.S. to China. President Richard Nixon ended more than 20 years of economic and political isolation between Communist China and the United States in 1972, when he became the first U.S. president to visit the People's Republic. Nixon's historic visit, widely considered one of the most successful policy initiatives of his presidency, became the first step in the normalization of U.S.-China relations. President Nixon's overture to China would not have been possible, however, without the efforts of Mike Mansfield, one of Congress's top policy experts on East Asian affairs. Not only did Mansfield receive an offer to visit the People's Republic before Nixon, an offer which paved the way for Nixon's own visit, but Mansfield's view of the necessity of a Chinese overture largely accorded with Nixon's own and helped launch a new era of peaceful Chinese-American relations. In recognition of Mike Mansfield's numerous and varied contributions, the Mansfield Center's two principal programs are Ethic in Public Affairs and Modern Asian Affairs. Our programs support not only our campus, but citizens from across the state. We travel from St. Regis to Miles City to engage people like you in the legacy of leadership Mansfield has left behind. As our monthly commentaries come to a close, I want to ask you to keep engaged with us. Reach out to us as we work with the community to provide opportunities for Montana. Keep up with us through the web and by reminding us of the issues most important to you. I want to thank KUFM for this opportunity. Most of all, I thank you, the listeners, for your tremendous feedback over the years. In the name of Mike Mansfield, we look forward to a continued partnership with those we serve.
Tina Mansour is one of the many commentators on Montana Evening Edition. Their opinions don't necessarily represent those of this station. If you have a comment about any of our stories, you can post it on our website at mtpr.org or on Montana Public Radio's Facebook page. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Christopher Allen. Please join Edward O'Brien tomorrow at 7, 8, and 8:30 for Montana Morning News. Thanks for listening.